You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Hard-hitting analysis.
They're KFC logs that you fire onto the fire pit.
Sure, I guess you could call it that.
You're going to attract every bear within 100 kilometers.
Yeah, and grit grinder. Just guys would be killing out of their campers.
You wake up in the morning, it's a grit grinder and a grizzly just fighting over
just
the pit.
Face deep into the fire pit.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Are we TSN 1050 today or 1260?
You know what? I had an experience this morning because I've got one of those Google. Yeah. So I've got one right in my living room.
Yeah.
And I was laying on the couch like a slob. But I had been out shoveling, and I was shoveling today. Not that anybody cares, but I was shoveling. So I felt like, you know what? I've been somewhat active, and now I want to lay down before the presser and get a read on what's going on in Edmonton. So I fire up the old Google machine.
I didn't even know that works.
Yes.
I have one of those.
You can. We should point that out to any of our listeners.
What
if
does that
you
mean,
have,
though? You don't know, like, what do you think? It's just a machine that's fake and doesn't work?
No, but I didn't know you can go, hey, Google, give me 1260 live.
Absolutely. And more importantly, forget them.
Us.
Get us.
Give me
TSN 1050.
1050.
Anytime. If you got Google, if you've got an Alexa, any of that kind of stuff.
So you can just actually just say that. Hey, Google, give me 1050.
Right.
Radio live.
Hey, Google, put on TSN 1050 radio, and it will start it up. I'll bet you it's starting up right now. We're probably trolling people in their house.
Say it one more time.
Nah, I'm not going to keep doing that. But I was sitting on a couch, and I'm like, I want to hear what's going on in Edmonton, just assuming people are going crazy. And I tune in, and Mac Jameson is on.
Well, I have Noodles. My Wednesday morning. Like, I'm Wednesday morning, 9:05, I'm kind of the first guy up. Like, that's my, I don't know if you call it my time slot for them. And I kind of knew what I was going to talk about, but obviously I wanted to see where Dusty Nielsen was going to take me.
Dusty Nielsen?
Dustin Nielsen, but Dusty. And did my whatever, 10-minute hit.
Yeah, I didn't hear the whole thing. I tuned in when you guys were talking about Koskinen and all that. But
yeah, that was.
Yeah, we're going to discuss what went down in Edmonton. And it was inevitable. I mean, everyone felt this coming. Peter Chiarelli.
He must have known.
Yeah, there's
what
not
an awkward chain of events, though. I mean, Bob Nicholson had his presser today, and there were some weird things said. Like, well, we decided to fire him before the game. Well, then what the hell is he doing at the game? Like, what did you want him to watch the first and second, and then you didn't like the second? Like, what if they took the lead in the second? Did you change your mind?
Well,
if you decided to fire him before the game, what the hell was he at the game for?
I have no idea.
I don't
because
either.
The explanation was we wanted to allow him to get out of the building quietly after the second.
Why but don't him let him go to the game?
Why was he at the game at all then?
Yeah.
Why bring him to the game at all? I don't believe any of it. I think the Oilers are an unmitigated disaster from top to bottom. And I think it starts at the top. It's clearly the owner. You know, Bob Nicholson said that there's something in the water. No, there's not. There's an owner that cannot get out of his own way. Yeah. It always starts at the top.
And there was lots of talk about here in Toronto when things were a mess, that the two groups in the ownership, one wanted this and one wanted that, and it just they couldn't get together, and one wanted to be good when they knew they weren't good, and other people said they're not. And it was a mess. Yeah. But as soon as someone came in and said, stay out of my way, I'm going to take control of the situation, decisions from hockey people started to get made, and that's where it starts.
Well, but here's the one thing I would say, is that hockey people have made the decisions in Edmonton. It's been the wrong people. You know, like Peter Chiarelli didn't play for the Oilers in the 80s.
Yeah, I know, but if the owner's in their ear in the decisions, then what the hell are you supposed to do?
That,
if he's saying to you, pick Yakupov over Murray or Morgan Riley, what the hell are you supposed to do?
I understand that, and I get it. And there were a lot of things that Bob Nicholson said today that I, quite frankly, kind of flinched at and was like, I'm not sure I believe in that. The most egregious mistruth was this idea that the old boys like Kevin Lowe and Mac T and Wayne Gretzky aren't actually factoring into hockey decisions. Do you think anybody on earth believes that Peter Chiarelli did everything by himself? He never seeked the counsel of any of those guys.
Yeah. There
so
was
no
they're
chance.
Just, I agree. They're just was doing other things, and when a hockey decision came up, they just said, okay, guys, we got to leave the room now.
Five or six statements. That one really stuck out for me. Because
I think ultimately, Bob probably put himself on notice today more than anybody.
Well, he has to be. I mean, I said this yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? That the owner, I think, is a problem. There's ownership problems throughout pro sports. It is their team. They're allowed to do whatever. And you know what rolls downhill. But Nicholson, he may have put himself on. I think he's on notice.
Yeah,
because,
he has to be.
Well, put it this way. The coach goes. The GM goes. Who goes next? And if he ends up interviewing, let's just say a rock star. I don't even know. Like Steve Yzerman, for some reason, goes, you know what? I'll take the job, but I need president and I need GM. I need everything. Nicholson's out the door. Like, he would be the guy, right?
Right. Nicholson would be the guy who
would
have.
Yeah, because he'd be thinking, that's kind of my gig.
Yeah, like, but anyway, so that's beside the point. There was several statements. That one, the boys on the bus, they're involved. For sure they are.
Of course. They're all employed by the team. They're hanging around the team. They have the ear of the owner out there.
But that's where I think it becomes, and then the breakdown, and then there's many breakdowns after that.
Well, his comment, he starts, it was a very uncomfortable press conference. Like, I don't know how.
Well, they always are.
I understand that, but it didn't feel like to me that Bob Nicholson really had anything thought out before he got up there. You know, it didn't feel like it was programmed beforehand. Like, he was kind of winging it, like, hey, I don't know what to tell you. I think we're making the playoffs, but we're not going to make this deal, but we might do that. And yeah, I'm like, what? Where's the plan?
Did you, like,
I didn't
hear
a plan. We're
going to make the playoffs. We've got to be more patient with our prospects. We've got great players here.
Did you have, like, to me, you have, I don't, when you're making a speech, you have some cliff notes or something. Like, you have a few bullet points.
I have an appreciation for a guy just saying, you know what, I'm just going to wing this because that's what I do. But when it's something like that, he was like, we got really good players here. There's something in the water, though. We got to develop our prospects. We got to look in. We got to open doors. I was like, this is all over the map.
It's everywhere.
Got time. Like, he had time. He knew that pressure was coming at 10 a.m.
Right.
Western time or Edmonton time. Like, you could have sat down before and said, okay, this is going to be my statement. Obviously, you could have predicted some of the questions. We know, just from Twitter chatter, Ryan Mishog was a dog on a bone. And good on Ryan.
Yeah, like great Ryan, work by Ryan.
I thought that was outstanding work by Ryan. I even sent him a note today. But, like, you had to know the question was going to be, like, at what point did you make this decision? Who made the decision, if it was Shirelli alone, to sign Koskinen to the extension? Because I said this before. I think Koskinen is a good goalie. I just thought the timing of it reeked of weird, like a weird timing. Like, you could have signed him a month from now when the dust had settled. If you've gotten a new manager, even if you had a new manager come in and said, hey, we've made the decision. We've agreed in principle 3 years for this goaltender. He's going to be the guy instead of Talbot. Like, and I don't even know if you picked up on this, Brian. He said, we made the decision between Koskinen and Talbot, and we chose Koskinen. He said that.
Oh, he absolutely
Cam
said
Cam Talbot's going to have to start games for them down the stretch.
He caught himself, because then he's like,
he goes, but I think Cam's still got to be a great player for us.
Because he caught himself.
He knew
exactly what he did. That was a truth. We've picked Koskinen. Talbot will not be an Edmonton Oiler next year. There's a 0% chance.
But
then he caught himself. That's why it's a debacle out there. Like, you and I, we have disagreed on how we feel about this team.
Right.
I watched that game last night. I think they're really an awful team. I really do. And I look at Hitchcock. I think the guy who should be the happiest man on earth right now is Todd McClellan. Because there are two coaches that have been fired this year, and their teams went into the dumpster after they left.
Right.
Joel Quenneville in Chicago, who his reputation spoke for itself anyway.
Right.
But it wasn't McClellan. No. Look at, they're 5-12 in the last 17 under Hitch. Hitchcock has no idea what to do.
Yeah.
No, he's got no clue. He's looking at this team. He's like, what do you want me to do with this?
Yeah, last night he was at it last week. Like, he was just like, you know what? We got one line. And then after that, what the hell are we supposed to do? Yeah.
Well, and it's a lot of the same talking points that we all heard in Toronto during the dark years, where the ownership and the front office was delusional into believing they had something better than they did. And it came down to character and, you know, they need to help McDavid in leadership. And that, you know, that may be some, there may be some truth in that.
I think there is some talent. But you need, exactly.
They don't have talent.
You need an upgrade in some serious spots. But you're right. Like, if you take emotion out, I was trying to think of that because I just use other references throughout the league. Remember this summer, it was Bergevin saying, like, we need an attitude adjustment. And people were just torching him. Like, okay, so what in that room is wrong? Like, I would love to be a fly on the wall to be like, if they have character issues or culture issues, what is it? Like, obviously, we won't know.
I hear what you're saying, but what I think really what stood out to Bergevin is that he made moves where the players have been upgrades.
Right.
Max Domi has been a huge upgrade over Alex Galchenyuk.
But it wasn't at the time.
No, but the players, it wasn't. I don't think it's because of his work in the gym. It's Max's performing on the ice.
But it reeked to me that there was something around Galchenyuk, around Pacioretty, around Subban. Like that's.
But I don't know who those guys are.
That's what I'm trying to figure out in Edmonton. Like, who are the guys they're talking about? Like,
but here's the thing. Those were the best players. Right. McDavid's not going anywhere.
No.
Draisaitl's not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, those were the best players in Montreal. Pacioretty was the captain of the team.
Yep.
The captain's not going anywhere. Edmonton.
No.
So if they think, hey, we need a third liner who brings more, that's not going to help this team.
No, that's not. You're just moving deck chairs, as Ray would say.
I honestly think, and this is not going to go over well in Edmonton, but I think they need to spend the next 12 to 18 months unloading as much
money
and dead weight as they can.
And say, you know what, where's our Robida Island, and we're going
to
ship
out. Well, it's not going to be easy, but they have to.
You've got to be like the Leafs. You've got to go to the owner and say, I need a bunch of money to make a bunch of stuff go away. Mm. That's the Leafs had. I think the Leafs. If you can't use the Leaf template for everyone, because they had an embarrassment of riches financially. You've got two of the richest companies. You can't just go, we're going to make Joffrey Lupo go away. We're going to make David Clarkson go away. We're going to make Robert. Like that cost. There was at one point, I think, $15 million in the minors. Like you can't. There's teams that work on budgets. Like Ottawa can't do that.
No.
Like there's teams. But
Edmonton can though.
If you go to the owner, within moderation, I believe the new general manager, two things have to happen. One, he says, I get an office with a lock on it that some of the voices, if you're going to keep some of the voices there, I'm bringing my own people. That costs money. Shanny did that, right? He brought in and surrounded, like there's some real good hockey people involved in Toronto. So you've got to spend money on that. And then you have to spend money on that roster to make some people go away and then to prop it up. That's going to take time. And it's going to cost money and it's going to cost a lot of things. But you have to have the right person to do that.
Well, the first thing I was thinking, whoever's going to take this job, the first thing they have to focus on is not prospects, drafting, blah, blah, blah. They have to make things go away.
On their roster.
On their roster.
And I think keep things away. For me, Evan Bouchard doesn't play on that team for 2 years. Like I'd be like, you're not touching Edmonton for 2 years.
Yeah.
But that's where the challenge is going to come because I'm not convinced they have the wherewithal to do it.
But if the new voice comes, that's to me the point. The new voice has to be somebody with autonomy.
Yes.
Where he tells Daryl, thank you, Daryl Cates, thank you for hiring me. Give me as much money as you can. But that's it.
I think someone's got to do it today.
Your son's not going to be the GM.
I think someone's got to do it today. Like personally, I would say Puljujärvi, you're in Bakersfield the rest of the year.
Yeah.
You're down there. You're playing 25 minutes
tonight. Puljujärvi, Yamamoto, and Caleb Jones.
You're not coming back up. Even if we go on a run and we make the playoffs, you're not coming back
up. That's
development. But I don't think they're going to do that.
Well, they better, because Puljujärvi right now, he's lost.
He might be a lost cause. Like,
he's lost.
There might be no returning from
And that's
that.
A lot of that is draft and development.
Yeah.
Now,
how many times, Jamie, have you seen a guy come up for 2 years now? And then all of a sudden, he's not where he's anywhere close to be. I mean, he was supposed to go third, and Pierre-Luc Dubois went third.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know.
I've heard a lot of people defend the pick, which is fine, because there's been a lot of young hockey. Exactly. He's 20 years old. You can't write him off. What you can blame is the organization for not placing him in a situation to help him grow as a player and as a person.
And it's continued.
That's on them.
Yeah, and especially with the current circumstances, I would get him as far away from Ken Hitchcock as possible. Ken Hitchcock has no interest in what players are going to look like in 5 years. None.
Yeah.
He's an interim head coach that was hired to get them in the playoffs. If he felt like it would get them one extra point, he would turn Puljujärvi into a fourth line shot blocking plug. He would.
Yeah, that's
so
the coach's job. Yeah.
He's a fourth overall
skill
guy. I
think you move people out, but that's your. If you had a scenario, that would be my thing. Is you need resources and autonomy
and time, though, Noodles.
But that's
time.
Autonomy. But to me, autonomy is a real key.
Yeah,
you can't have somebody come in and be like, you know what? Oh, by the way. It'd be nice for season ticket holders to see this player, that type of stuff.
Well, and that's the real shame, is that they've got the best player in the league on their team, and it's a waste right now.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. When you go over the history of the NHL, it's Orr, Gretzky, Mario, Lindros, Sid, McDavid. Those are the phenoms that we heard about when they were, like, 13, 14 years old. You know, and listen, Mario, it didn't start perfectly in Pittsburgh.
What happened was Sid his first couple years, it was him and Mark Fleury were really had
Sid
some
by 08-09 was in the Cup final.
Right.
He was drafted in 05, so do the math.
Right.
You know,
so
like
4 or 5 years.
LeBron James was in the NBA finals, I believe, his fourth year in the league. Like that's what that's his level.
Yeah.
You know, and McDavid's on that level. And just for the well-being of the sport and the league and the marketing and the money and the TV networks, you got to get that guy in a position where he can win some games. And it's just not happening. It's
we talked
shame.
About it the other, this morning. It's like NBC was at that game last night.
Well, Ray was there. Ray was doing it
for
NBC.
No kidding. NBC was in Edmonton for one reason and one reason only.
Yeah.
The McDavid show.
Absolutely.
And they must be thinking, not again soon.
Which, I mean, that's the bigger picture that I was trying to get to yesterday.
Detroit versus Edmonton for NBC.
Right. Like, this really is, because of the importance of McDavid,
right.
It's the league needs him to be in a position where he's on the biggest platforms.
Well, to be relevant.
You have to have your superstar on the biggest stages.
Absolutely.
Like, you have to. And, you know, I'm not sure how they're going to go about it, the ownership, and working in conjunction with who they have. But
you
got the best player in the world, and he's in his fourth year. And
you can't have Keith Gretzky making a bunch of trades.
Well, no kidding. But like that's interim GM right now.
That's the one thing that has to be glaring, is you can't just have the guy from the left slide to the right and just start driving the bus.
One last thing before we go. Like, I know the attachment to McDavid would be an awfully enticing thing. It's best player in the world. But I wonder if there's an executive that says, no thanks. Like, do you think there'd be at least one guy, like a highly sought-after exec that would say...
Do you think Steve Yzerman's going to Edmonton?
No, I don't.
No.
0% chance.
There would be more than one, on many levels. Not just from the player, from the history of how the organization has been run. And that, again, comes back to your answering to... I had an exec tell me one time about another organization. I won't throw them under the bus, saying I'm not working for that owner. It's a tire fire. So, and that it wasn't a Canadian owner, so don't, you know, try and put it together. But this was a highly sought after exec, and he said, no thank you.
That's the first thing you would
because
ask.
I'm not, because you know exactly how things are going to be run.
Right.
Because of the history of how that's played out.
Our buddy Jason Strudwick will set the tone from Edmonton. We'll catch up with him. The Leafs are in action tonight. The Matthews and Marner show going off.
It could be a high scoring
one.
Washington. And even Matthews' comments this morning. Did you see it?
Yeah, he's like, I watched the highlights. That would be a lot of fun. Let's do it.
7-6. Let's see what happens.
And how about Ovi playing tonight? You know, I think that's a sign of respect for the Leafs, the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
You know,
and Washington's lost six in a row.
I think they realize they got to get rocking
here.
So we're going to tee that game up. Ray's coming up. He's in town calling the game tonight for NBC. The Raptors are in Indiana tonight. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. All right, Ray's coming up. He was in Edmonton last night. He's in Toronto tonight. Jerry's percentages in about an hour.
Wonder what Jerry's going to be talking about.
I am quite curious to find out what Jerry's got up his sleeve. I've got an El Chapo story as well I want to touch on later in the afternoon.
Wow, how do you come out of left field with an El Chapo?
Well, there's a bit of an overdrive spin on this.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. We'll catch up with Strutty later in the hour on the mood in Edmonton and where the Oilers go from here. Saw Baseball America came out with their top 100 prospects. No surprise, Vladdy Guerrero, number one. Bo Bichette, number eight. They got a bunch of guys in the top 100. So
Danny Jansen, 442, I believe.
Yeah, Nate Pearson's in there. There's a bunch of guys. So they're not going to be here this year. Vladdy will be. I'm not sure any of the other guys are going to. Well, Danny Jansen's going to be behind the plate. But the other guy's probably still a couple years away. But
let him grow.
If you're going to be this bad of a team and you're going young, you want guys to be highly touted. And
77 wins on the books.
Yeah, under the number when we're in Vegas. 3 weeks today we're in Vegas hammering the under, 77.5 total wins.
3 weeks today? Wow.
I believe it is. I'm counting the days or anything. Raptors with a win last night. Pascal Siakam went off, and CJ Miles again hitting double digits. His shot starting to pick up. We'll touch on that later in the afternoon. Our buddy Josh Lewenberg will be in studio at 6:30. Raps in Indiana tonight. You can hear that on TSN Radio. Leafs in action tonight down at Scotiabank. I feel more excited for this game than I have for a game in quite some time.
Really?
Simply because of Matthews and Marner. Because they're playing together. Leaf fans have been, you know, asking for this for a long time. You can tell the two of them have been waiting for this for a while. You know, they're both speaking with excitement.
Yeah.
I think they're putting a little bit of pressure on themselves to make sure that they get the job done.
Even Mitch said, I think he said, we want to play the right way so this doesn't get broken up.
And I got to be honest. I understand, you know, Babcock makes the call. Mm-hmm. He's the head coach. I understand his reasoning in the past. These are two star players that can drive lines. They have proven that when they're at their best. And I understand that logic. But I think Babcock's got to be careful here, too. I think he's got to play them the whole night. Because these are your two poster boys. These are your kids. These are the guys who are going to determine your fate in the room for the next 5 years.
Right, right.
Don't toy with them and give them a couple of shifts and then say it's not working, you're out.
Say no, thank you.
I think he's treading dangerously here if he messes with them early. I would play them the whole game. I would be committed to it the whole game.
Yeah, but it's 3-0 after 12 minutes. It's good night.
So it's their fault?
Well,
it's Marner and Matthews' fault.
You know how it works, though. This didn't work. Okay, that was fun. That didn't work. So you had your chance.
Yeah,
break up another line.
It may, unless it's directly their fault. I mean, you give them a little bit of runway and let them run. I wanted to see how JT reacts. Not reacts is the wrong word. How he plays.
I expect him to perform. I mean, I had him like 15th in the TSN top 50 players. If you're the top 20 player in the world, you should be driving a line yourself.
He's done that.
He's capable
in New York
of doing
for many
Why didn't
years?
Austin Matthews do that? You probably had him higher, didn't you?
I did.
Okay, so
he did the first 25 games of the year.
Well, he hasn't been.
Yeah, he
but why
tonight.
Not?
Yeah, they'll have a good game.
Because Matthews struggled, then Tavares gets a free pass to be terrible.
No,
tonight?
I'm just saying, if you think that if you're that talented, you should drive your own line. He didn't do it.
I can't fight you on that. I'm not saying that you're wrong.
I know.
That's a fact. But I think expecting Tavares to take a massive step back because he doesn't have a Mitch Marner on his line.
No, I
think is.
But there is that familiarity, you know, where you're, hey, I've been going to this place on the ice and I get the puck that way. Like, you know what, chemistry, it'll be a quick fix. Like, it's not like he's playing with nobody. Like
Johnny T's like that girl in the. And the meme, you know, where the guy's looking back at the other girl, and she's, like, looking at him.
He's with his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's Johnny.
Yeah, it is. He's still got Hyman beside him, but Marner's going the other way.
Yeah, Marner's looking back at Matthews.
Well, why can't William Nylander get a crack with John Tavares?
Yeah, I thought that, too.
Give him a shot with Tavares. Like, Tavares on the island made a lot of money for a lot of wingers.
Matt Molson, Kyle Pozo.
Thomas Vanek. There were a lot of Anders Lee. There were a lot of guys who were good players.
Very good players.
But they were lifted up because of who they played with.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's a two-way street. Marner's been exceptional. But part of that has been that Tavares has been putting home the passes he's been handing out.
Right.
I wonder what William Nylander, I know that Matt Sundin faced some scrutiny because he didn't sign until, I believe it was late in the season, like January. And I don't think he played particularly well. And All-Star break came around right to Whistler. And the team was like, hey man, you might want to stick around. I wonder what old Billy Nye's approach is going to be. This guy missed training camp, missed 2 months. Now he's going to have a 10-day break.
You think, well, so you're expecting him to skate every day?
I don't know, Jamie. I don't know what the approach would be. What the hell's 10 days
vacation? So if you see an Instagram post with him and Mitch and Austin and they're in the
No,
Bahamas.
But it's just a fascinating dynamic where this guy's missed so much time, he's not performed at all, and now he's got a 10-day break coming up.
I can tell you what I believe the Leafs want him to do.
Hang around locally, work out?
Well, skate and work out. For sure. Skate and work out. You don't
and
have
I
to
think
be at
that everybody deserves
Center.
These vacations, but I honestly think for him that might be the best approach.
Here's what I would do. Cut it in half. Take this weekend. You finish tonight. Take this weekend. Come back Sunday. And Monday on your bye week, you're here working.
But would we be criticizing him for the hero move if he posts that on Instagram?
The Kyle Lowry, 1 o'clock in the
exactly.
morning.
Like, oh, someone happened to take a video of me bag skating on the Tuesday.
You know,
that feels like it's kind of manipulative. I think he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't.
Exactly, but if it's an investment in him getting better or getting to up to speed.
What if he just posts roasted turkey pics on a yacht, like just crushed in Bahamas?
Then I actually, what did I say? Was that yesterday I said that or 2 days ago? I'd like to see some guys live their lives a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Like, just get after it.
Don't judge if Willie goes on a 10-day bender. Just be better when you come back. That's what I would say. Be better.
Yeah.
See, I've talked to you about this before. My Olympic breaks, I did nothing. Cancuning it for 10 days. And I came back and I never felt better. Like, I was like, I feel amazing.
Well, it was a mental break.
It was. Yeah. It was like, I did not touch a bike, exercise, anything. And I came back and I was like, I'm going to be so brutal. I've never felt better. But I was at training camp. I played the first 2 months. And it was a mental break from that.
Yeah, that's
this guy's only been here for a month, barely.
You were already in game shape. Like, during my breaks, I remember going to Vegas, but funny story, I was working out. I would wake up, work out, and then I would go and basically waste the workout because I'd be drinking and gambling the whole day. I ran into Ronnie Lowe. Do you remember Ron Lowe?
Yeah, the coach of the Oilers.
Yeah. He was there in Vegas. Saw him at the tables, and then I was walking out of the gym pouring sweat, and he was, like, stumbling by, and he's like, oh, my God, what are you working out for? I said, well, I got to at least kind of feel like I'm breaking even. When I got back after the break, Grant Fuhr blew his knee out. I actually had to play, and we played the Oilers, and I ran into him. He's like, all those bikes in Vegas helped me. We were laughing about it, but, you know, I just felt I wanted to break even. I wasn't doing anything. I was just sweating out booze. But I just felt like, I think for me, it was weight control. Because I was a guy who could look at a cheeseburger and put a couple pounds.
Right. Well, I mean, Nylander is in a very precarious position because of all of the noise around him,
yes.
The spotlight that's on him. You know, if no one cares what you do with your life as long as you're playing well.
Exactly.
The second you start playing poorly and you get paid and the contract and stuff, I mean, there's a lot of...
Yeah,
there's a lot of spotlight on him already.
Checks are still being cashed.
What he's going to do.
That's why I'd be on a bird tonight or tomorrow morning and back Sunday. Cut it in half. Like, and then if you
and it's not even. It is partially about the public perception, but I do think internally it's a message as well. Like, you think Kyle Dubas is probably like, man, I committed a lot of money to you. I put my neck out for you. Can you try to pretend that you're trying to get into shape here stay in shape?
It's his right, but at some point you gotta realize your situation. You haven't been here since September battling like the rest of the group. But if he, like you said, fans don't care. If he comes back and has a stretch drive like he's capable of, nobody cares.
Nobody's
about
gonna
this.
Care.
Actually, his play leading up to this will be water under the bridge if he has a good stretch drive.
Absolutely. We'll totally forget it.
Exactly.
Totally forget it. Peter Chiarelli out in Edmonton. Bob Nicholson, president of the club. He spoke today. Our main man, Jason Strudwick from Edmonton and TSN Radio out there, will join us, and we'll get an update on the mood in Edmonton, Alberta. We'll get to that next. All right, Leafs in action tonight, taking on Washington. Alex Ovechkin will play, which means he will miss the first game coming back from the All-Star break because he pulled the shoot on the All-Star game. But Ovi's going off tonight. Should be a fun game. We'll tee that up with Ray in about 25 minutes. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Back into the Raptors later in the afternoon as well. Caught up with our main man, Jason Strudwick. Couldn't get him on live because he's such a busy guy.
He is a busy guy.
Our favorite former Edmonton Oiler. And we began by asking Strutty, what's the mood like in Edmonton?
Well, I think this is something that people have been calling for, you know, and you know, it's been a slow build. You know, you look at the performance of the team over the last, you know, number of games, even just the last weekend. It's been tough to handle. And I think the trades for the two defensemen and the move for Spooner just a little bit before that was kind of like the final straw for a lot of fans. You know, you just did the talent or the draft picks continue to go out the door, and you bring in people that I think you already had kind of in house that could have got the job done. Like, for instance, Manning, who, you know, he plays the AHL. You had Gravel here, who makes less than a third of what he makes. So I think, you know, cap wise, I think there's a lot of issues for that. So the fans, I think they got what they wanted. And sometimes that's the easiest thing, because now the job is really difficult for the team, the owner, to say, okay, now who's going to take over and what's our direction? There's been one direction under Chiarelli, and, you know, God love him, he made moves, and fans love moves. But now there's got to be a new start. And where does it start with a new POHO, or president of hockey operations? Does it start with someone taking both titles, the GM and both? And, you know, who is it going to be? What does it look like? Is it everything changing the organization? So the real work now starts today. And I don't think it's going to be a quick turnaround. I believe it takes time to build something properly, and trying to short circuit it is where you end up again, like you are today with the Oilers.
Strutty, if you had a crystal ball, I mean, I'm not asking you to look forward, but if you take a look at all of this scenario, do you believe it can be fixed based on with the people that are still in place there? And he, you know, Bob Nicholson comes to mind. He's the figurehead of it all. But I know he was very defensive in his media, saying like, "Hey, the boys on the bus, they're not around," all that type of stuff, because that is the narrative around Edmonton. And let's not—I'm not going to let the owner off the hook either. He's a guy. I don't know how involved he is, but if you had an opinion on how you get it fixed, does it have to be somebody from the outside that has no allegiance to any of this?
Yeah, I do. I think it has to be someone's fresh eyes. You know, at times when you are in any, you know, project, you're looking at it every day. You don't see something that's maybe obvious in front of you. And the one thing that's very obvious for me, this organization, is how they're trying to short circuit or quickly turn this thing around. And I'll give you three examples that are currently, well, not on the roster, but they were on the roster a week ago. Yamamoto, Puljujärvi, and Caleb Jones. Three young players that I hope in a year or two or three are a big part of this organization. The problem is you don't develop those guys in the NHL. Caleb Jones came in and played well for a while there. He was promoted to the top line, where it's a very difficult matchup for him. And you know, they decided to send him down where he should be. Yamamoto alternates between 13 and 6 minutes. At 6 minutes, Brian Hayes could play with his offhand from all that great time you had in the OHL, well, and still be as productive. It's
that's
impossible.
True. That's a good point. You're not wrong, Strutty.
Yeah, Hayes has good
feet.
There's
nothing you can do with 6 minutes.
Quickly
getting off the ice as the coach is yelling your name. And then Puljujärvi, you know, Puljujärvi, guys, this is a tough spot because he's no longer waiver exempt. Next year, they have to know, is this guy an NHL player? And they've kind of, you know, 3 years now where it's been, you know, tough for to see where his development's been. So those are three hard, concrete examples where I would have those guys all in the minors, developing. And yeah, you know what, is Ty Ratty that much a downgrade from Yamamoto? Long-term, I believe he is, but short-term, he isn't. So I want, I think the fans and the owners will want to find someone that has that vision of being very patient. The problem with being patient is that sometimes you're going to take a lot of hits because people want to play at their shiny toys. They want to see Evan Bouchard next year on the Oilers. I want to see him down at Bakersfield.
With Jason Strudwick of TSN 1260 in Edmonton, yeah, I couldn't believe the Nicholson presser. I mean, it felt like to me he had just spoken with the owner. This was my impression. Hey, we got to sell some tickets. We want people to keep showing up. Go out there and tell everyone you believe you can make the playoffs. And I just don't see it, Strutty. I don't see it. This team is awful. And, like, how can he possibly come out and promote that they're going to make the playoffs? Like, why? I don't think Edmonton Oilers fans really want to hear that. Don't they want to hear about a plan? Like, that's a three-month plan. That's not a 3 to 5 year plan.
Well, I think that in the short term, the one thing I did like is they're not going to sacrifice the future for today. I said at the beginning of the year, I didn't feel they're a playoff team, and I still feel the same way now. So if I'm all of a sudden put in the position of running this, the best thing to do is maximize the assets you have now, and that includes Cam Talbot, who is obviously not going to be back because Mikko Koskinen got the big deal by a GM who was fired 24 hours later, but that's probably for another day. But when you look at this situation, you've got to try to maximize your assets, get what you can out. Do not sacrifice for the future. Take your lumps, and then whoever becomes a GM, you put them in front of the media, in front of the fans, say, this is my plan. This is what I expect to do, and then you hope he delivers. Because Peter Shirelli had it somewhat like that. I was there the first day he was his press conference, and he had a plan laid out, couldn't deliver on it. And that's why I don't really need to hear GMs talk or coaches talk. I see benefit in the delivery of that. Of whatever you want to do, just do it, and you get better. Peter had a plan. It didn't work out, so he's gone. So next guy, you can tell me every day and or be on every radio show across the country saying that what you're doing, but I'd rather just hear you deliver that plan. So a plan feels good for day one, but after that you have to deliver. And for the Oilers, it's not going to be easy. I don't believe they're going to turn this around in short order. There are some great tentpoles, as I saw someone talk about. McDavid, Leon, Klefbom, Darnell Nurse, Nuge. They have some players come out, like Bouchard. But they got to somehow straighten out their cap situation and find some players to play a faster game at a cheaper number that they can get going the right direction and get that youth bubbling up from the minors and draft picks. That is what it's all about. And right now they have some guys perhaps in the minors, but they're not going to deliver much help for at least another 12 months.
Strutty, did you feel like Hitch had much input in all of this?
Well, you know, I saw his comment last night. You didn't see after the game that he was asked, if they have enough. And he said, well, you know, we have one line, and they defend against that line. And to me, that was just like, he just, without saying it, he said, there's not enough depth here. So I'm sure he's been saying behind the scenes, hey, I need some help to try to get this going. But that's easy to say. I mean, I'd like my hair to grow back, but it's not that easy, right? You have to find a way to make it deliver on something you can actually deliver on. So what do the Oilers have to trade if they can make it? You know, like, Puljujärvi's not going to get you that top six forward right now, the way, you know, he has a quite a finished product. You don't want to trade your D-men because you need them. So are you willing to trade Evan Bouchard for a guy with maybe 2 years left on his contract? I wouldn't be as the GM. Am I willing to trade the first pick this year? I'm not, because there's a good chance that could be a really nice pick. Until you know, you don't want to make that move. So I think you have to just grin and bear it and just hope that this group gets it going. And we've seen them play well, but, you know, if they can get it going, then there's a chance. But other than that, the short term, I feel, is that time's passed. It's about the long term, and that's what's really important, building this to be sustained. And that's what the Oilers fans want.
Well, and that, again, brings me back to what Nicholson was saying this morning, that, you know, he believes in this group, and he's seen it, and when they play up to their capabilities, they can be a good team. Again, I'm not sure how much of that he actually believes, but you guys are former players. When a coach gets fired and you bring in somebody new, I can understand that having an immediate impact, and you might change your tune. You will change your routine or your habits. Just because Peter Chiarelli isn't up in the luxury suite anymore, how is that going to change the way the Oilers play? Like, how does firing the GM change anything on the ice today?
Well, and that's, I think that's where, you know, I'm kind of getting at, is it short term, it's going to be very difficult. I mean, you can make a few moves, like they sent Spooner down today and Yamamoto. Just, you know, the Oilers had a 10-day break. So, you know, do those two guys find their game in the minors in 10 days? I sure hope so for their team's sake. But it's a longer view than that. And you're right. You know, Bob Nicholson is very good at what he does, and he's got to carry the line. But it's about the long term vision. And Oilers fans don't want to hear that. I talk about patience on our station all the time, and I get massive pushback. And I get it. I understand that. But it doesn't mean that the long term view is wrong. I know I'm right. And you can keep trying to short circuit, but you keep ending up where we find the group today. And I think that's the frustrating part for Oilers fans.
Great stuff, Strutty. Try to enjoy yourself out there, man. Keep it calm. Just relax.
And I believe that your hair, you can find a solution for your hair.
That might happen faster than anything else in Edmonton here, so we'll see what happens.
It's a rebuild. Strutty's hair is in a rebuild. All right, buddy. Good talking to you. Thank you for
talk to you guys later. Yeah. Yeah, right on.
There's our buddy Jason Strudwick. His hair is in a rebuild. It's a 5-year plan. He's going to get it on the rails.
Either that, if he wants a quick rebuild, doesn't he have to go to Turkey or
Istanbul,
whatever?
Istanbul. Yeah, it's the only way to go.
With his hairdresser.
I didn't really see that in the text chain, fellas. And I was actually there in the building, too. That's the frustrating part.
Well, I'm going to go back on the text chain. I'm quite certain that I sent
I thought you
note.
Just were talking about Strutty. Can we get him on? And then I was like, I didn't read the whole thing. And then I was in here. You can ask Kara Wagland. She saw me walk in here. I walked in at 3:22.
Well, we started talking to Strutty at 3:30. Yeah, so you could have been in on that pre-tape.
11:13 this morning, Strutty is good to go for 3:30. And then...
What are you, flushing our internal text?
Oh, but it's
what?
Just stuff like that. I know that we're going to call him, and it's like, I don't look at the time. I didn't think it was
And then we started talking about something else in the text.
I think I know where it went.
It did go somewhere
It's a segue
else.
Into this El Chapo story, because he's on trial, right, down in New York.
I wonder who's testifying against that character.
Well, that's the thing. I think they're probably having a difficult time. They had a real tough time picking a jury because everyone was like, no chance.
Not a chance.
What about
would
a
you
judge?
Go,
anybody.
I wouldn't want to even be in the city of New York. They got to shut down the Brooklyn Bridge to get this guy into the courtroom.
Jeez.
Like, they're shutting down the bridges of New York into Manhattan.
You're not joking?
I'm not joking. No. This was a big story months ago. Like, they shut down the Brooklyn Bridge. I believe it was the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
To get him into the city. Because they're worried it's going to be like a movie. Like, helicopters start coming in and get this guy out of there.
Wow.
So anyway, I guess a detail came out that his cousin, someone that was really close to him, like one of the top guys, back in 2011, El Chapo gave the go-ahead to whack his cousin.
Wow.
Because his cousin had the audacity of asking for a personal day. He asked for a personal day, and I guess he claimed that he was going to be out of the country, and someone spotted him at like a park with some girl or something like that, and Chapo just went, that's enough. No personal days for you.
And whacked him.
And had him whacked.
Wow.
Like, I would say that's a bit of an aggressive retribution.
That
like,
is.
What is the terminology that Al Chapo's using? Is it like a day off or just a day away from work?
I think the word was personal.
Personal day. Like, I think it was, maybe there's some, it's lost in translation here from Espanol to English, but.
If you're trying to intimidate me into asking in the future, you're not.
I'm just saying, maybe you should be, you're lucky. Yeah. You know, we don't have the same type of penalties for personal days that go awry.
You know, you're lucky that's not Tony Soprano sitting over there.
Yeah, Hazy B. Chapo.
Wow.
You could be in big trouble.
The personal day.
I consider you my underling, and next time you ask for a personal day and I find out that you're. At the spa or something, we're going to have some problems.
I will say, he's dressed for the part tonight, though. Like, we haven't discussed this. Maybe get back into it in the 5 o'clock
We'll let
hour.
You know what the Air Dog's wearing at 5 o'clock. We'll get to that,
You guys
Jerry's.
Think that I'm not wearing it for, like...
No, you're wearing it.
It's all right.
For...
We'll tell you. We're going to let the people know what's up at 5, and Jerry's percentage is at 5:30.